Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Botch. Heel. Botch. Heel.
Is my hair shaking enough to that? I feel like some mad conductor from the mid, like, centuries ago.
Yeah, I mean, you look like a proper, like, you and the Butcher could form an amazing tag team at the moment of, like, balding metalers. I think that'd be a pretty wicked tag team, actually. Pretty sweet.
Anything with the Butcher. The Butcher's my spirit animal right now. So we are all here, unfortunately, to discuss a not quite as good night two of WrestleMania. A lot of people are like, oh, what a great WrestleMania. I was like, oh, yes, good first half. Couple of good bits on the second part as well, including an excellent main event that we'll get to. Haven't stopped thinking about it. Really, like, with leaving night two behind, I am left with that the main thing I'm thinking about is, God, that main event was killer. I loved everything they did. But we are going to kick off with the negative. Because we did the positive stuff for night one, which is the Fiend versus...
Hold on. WrestleTalk never say positive things about WWE. How can you insinuate that we did positive things yesterday in our video where we said the Bad Bunnies match was awesome and I gave the show 5 out of 5? You're so negative, Ollie. Why are you so negative to WWE?
It's because of the Khan coin, man. I've got a lot riding on Khan coin. And then it fluctuates. It fluctuates day to day. So the show opened with Randy. Oh, by the way, Beer 52. We couldn't have done this weekend without you, Beer 52. Thank you so, so much. Everyone go to beer52.com/WrestleTalk if you're in the UK, and you'll get a free case of 8 free craft beers if you're taking out a new box. You're getting free beer. What more can we say? They're fantastic. We love them very dearly. And you will need it if you ever want to go and re-watch the start of this show. Randy Orton versus The Fiend. This was a non-cinematic match. It was a match in front of fans. Unfortunately, I think this could have been a very good cinematic match, but it had Crispy Fried Fiend transform into a sort of slightly adapted old Fiend style. Like, body shape wise, he looked a little bit leaner, I thought Bray did. Mm. But who knows?
Well, what was
underneath the crispiness?
Wasn't it decided on the stream last night that he's lost a lot of weight in his neck and his neck's looking really thin now? Like, he's really leaned up in the neck area.
Nothing about the mask or how that distorts proportions. He's definitely lost a lot of that neck fat. So the Fiend comes out of... Bliss comes... Let's go from the... Should we go from the top?
Let's do it, mate. Let's go from the top.
Randy Orton comes out in white pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen Randy Orton wrestle in white. And a lot of people did point out, I think, and, you know, I don't know if we should read anything too much into it, but Edge was wearing the same color gear. Like, he was also wearing white and red. So, I don't know. Rated RKO reunion, maybe?
That on the anniversary of the greatest match, Backlash, which is the next pay-per-view. Oh, I don't hope so. So Randy came out. And, I think we're all very geared up for night two because night one was a lot of fun.
So good.
So just the very fact that Randy was wearing white made me go like, what the hell's going on here? And then he did a slip, right? This annoyed me. And I'm calling it out because I would be hypocritical because I called out Belair and Banks for doing the sort of breaking character. Aren't we so lucky to be here? Look, before they had a wrestling match, that takes me out of the action. It's not a women thing. I don't think Becky Lynch and Ronda would have done that, for instance. They would have stuck to their characters and made it feel really, really aggressive. But they did. And, lovely moment, but I would have preferred that not to be there. Randy, exactly the same case here. He is coming out for a 6-7 month blood feud where he burnt a man alive. He's walking down the ramp and he does a little stumble to make fun of Mandy Rose falling over the previous night.
Now, a lot of people pointed out that he did a thing on the bump where someone was asking him, whoever the presenter was like, oh, can you tell us about your feud with The Fiend and your match tonight? And he effectively didn't want to talk about that match and instead wanted to talk about Bad Bunny. It's starting to make me think that Randy is not really into a lot of this.
Yeah. And I think he made that quite clear. I think it was very disrespectful to, to the sort of the story, what Bray's tried to do creatively. I'm not a fan of it, but I want the people who are doing it to at least give it their best effort and treat it as such. Anyway, Randy comes out and then we get Fiend. And he had a sort of magical transformation through a tunnel where he turned from crispy fried Fiend, this was all pre-filmed, into this sort of new, less fat neck Fiend. And then Bliss comes out in the full-on child, like, what would you call that makeup of Bliss?
Yeah, I don't really know what you would describe the makeup as, but she came out and she did like her childlike stuff, and I think she's very good in this role, and I think she's really enjoying this role and this character. So yeah, so like I think she is playing it very, very well.
Yeah, so she comes out and then, oh, like a really nice bit of camera trickery, there was a giant box there.
I was going to say, was it a box or was it a box-like structure?
A box-like structure. Honestly, WWE are just intent on making their announcers the least credible presences in existence.
And you could say like, oh, guys, I think it's low-hanging fruit to be making fun of Byron's accent and saying box-like structure. And you don't need to point that out, that he made a very silly thing to say. But like, stop having your commentators say silly things then, and we'll stop highlighting the fact that they said very silly things. Like, no human being would look at this giant jack-in-a-box that's got a handle on it, and bearing in mind a lot of the feud around this, a lot of build has been around a jack-in-the-box, and be like, I don't know what that is. It's some sort of box-like structure. Michael, do you know what it could be? I don't know. It's very perplexing.
So Bliss, twirls whatever this handle thing is on the side of this like cube, this vague cube that appeared. We had all made fun of it because it is, when you step back, frankly ridiculous. Randy's there being like, what's he thinking when they're wheeling it in? It just appear there.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Like, it's fine. Yeah, and it's fine. Then the Fiend raises from the Jack in the Box. And, this was okay. And then the music.
That's not what Jack in the Boxes do, though, is it?
Twang. Well, you want him to launch out.
Well, it's a Jack in the Box. Jack in the Boxes aren't, like, historically known for slow opens. Surprise.
Like, you were expecting a pop. So if anything, this was more shocking. And the Fiend comes out and, he's there. He's got the new kind of modified look. It's really not that dissimilar to what it was before. Slightly different mask. And then the music kicks in. And just something happened to me where I was like, who gives a crap?
Who cares?
I'm in. I love this song. I love The Fiend. I love all the lore. Who cares, 6 months Ollie, of hating this supernatural build? Let's get this out of the way. Get back to enjoying The Fiend again. We got the red light That came back and didn't go away. So the whole match was bathed in red, where it really, really takes me out of the action. I think a lot of other people cannot believe that came back when fans were there.
Yeah.
And we had a few bits where Fiend would essentially no-sell stuff. Cool spot where Randy did the drop on the announcer's table. Fiend jumped right back up, hit the mandible claw on Orton. But it went 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, Bliss is sat on top of the box in a completely different outfit. Mm-hmm. Like, she's all in black.
And she's got a crown of thorns, and she is bleeding, like, you could say black, but she had like the black viscous liquid, the black goo that Randy Orton has been like spewing out of himself for the last few months or so, which I was disappointed to see was not actually the rebirth of the Fiend. But yeah, like, but she's got like the black goo pouring down her face, and the Fiend, like an idiot, gets distracted by this, and he looks up and he's like, oh no, what's going on here? And then he turns around. Randy Orton hits the RKO. It only takes one, two, three. And that was it. And then afterwards, the Fiend stood up. He looked at Alexa Bliss some more. And then the lights went out and the crowd went, boo. And it did not. Like, so when people say like, oh, you're being so negative on this, why do you need to say anything positive about it? The reason why we called this video WWE Botched the Fiend, and like, because originally we were going to say like, did they? But like you and I discussed, it was like, well, no, they did, because this is a WrestleMania crowd in the middle of a pandemic. These are fans who were so desperate to watch wrestling, they cheered Tamina. They were so desperate to just enjoy themselves out for wrestling. They went to a wrestling show in the middle of a pandemic, and they booed this. This crowd, of all crowds, is going to be your most forgiving crowd ever. And they booed this because they did not like it.
And it's been, you know, overwhelmingly condemned online. I hated it. You hated it. But that's not, you know, that's not crazy, because we haven't liked a lot of the way WWE booked the Fiend. But I everywhere I've looked, Twitter, Reddit, those are the only places I've looked, to be fair. Our own community poll on the WrestleTalk channel, like 80% of people voted for, yeah, but they did the Fiend wrong. In the audience, opposite the hard cam, there was a fan dressed in the Fiend mask. And he, you know that John Travolta gif where he's like,
yeah,
you know, from Pulp Fiction, looking around. He was doing that. He didn't like it. This is the end, because it's WrestleMania. If they have another goddamn match, that's worse. Let's just pretend it's the end right now. This is a 7-month storyline where let's just say Randy's the heel. He burned the Fiend alive. And the Fiend was ridden off TV for 3 months. He came back. It's WrestleMania. This is where he gets his revenge. This is where he wins. But he lost to one RKO. Again.
Again. Because he's already been beaten by Randy. He got beaten by him at TLC. That's why he was set on fire. And then also, he, you know, Alexa Bliss won the year. Alexa Bliss managed to win on Fiend's behalf. Maybe it's just 50-50 booking, I guess. What does this lead to next? Does it lead to another Randy Orton match? Must this feud continue? Because if Randy's eyes, he did what he said he was going to do, and he beat the Fiend. So for him, there's no need for him to continue this feud from a character-wise. And I think for like Bray, surely he's now feuding with Alexa. And there is this sort of prevailing fan theory that was sent to me that Alexa Bliss was sat cross-legged on top of the box-like structure. Which other wrestler in WWE who has not been on TV for a while sits cross-legged? And so there are some people who think like, well, do you think that this could be, this transitions Bray into a feud with Aleister Black? Now, I don't know why people think Aleister Black is a spooky character, other than the fact that he has metal music. Because like nothing about him says that, oh, he's a spooky guy. He's a supernatural guy. He does kicks, mate. He's a badass kick man.
I think what people are confusing there is like a love of the occult and a lot of occultist references. You know, he literally rises from the coffin with, and you know, his name references Aleister Crowley, with actual supernatural horror, which to me are very different things.
But do you think, like, so just to, you know, talk about this fan theory, do you think that it could be an Aleister Black thing?
I would be stunned, because unfortunately, I don't think anyone with significant booking power right now in WWE care about Aleister Black. I don't think they'd suddenly revamp him with a major feud with The Fiend, because The Fiend is still very, you know, he's top of the card for WWE, despite how they continually beat him for no reason. So it could happen. I don't think it will. I like the idea of it. You know, it's something. It gets Black on TV. That's good for me. But does he ultimately lose to that? I just, and what is Bliss here? Like, I think the crowd were into the idea of this evil Bliss character. Is she Sister Abigail finally taken over Bliss? Or is Bliss just like her own thing who has unlocked something deeper within the pits of hell? To me, that works really well, though, if her and The Fiend are some now super team.
Yeah.
I've got no interest in a split. No interest.
But I was going to ask, do you think that might be what the crowd were booing? Because there is the, you know, the potential here that the crowd weren't booing the finish. They weren't booing Bray losing. They were booing WWE for splitting up this act. Because people, you know, we've seen them in our comments. People do like this act and they like Alexa Bliss in there. We get Patreon mailbag questions about this all the time, being like, I don't understand why you don't like this. I think it's awesome. A lot of the donations that we had yesterday on our Just Giving page, where we're raising money for Calm. Thank you very much. We raised nearly 17,000, actually over 17,000 pounds, in fact. Messages to be like, I think you guys are wrong. This is amazing. I love the Bliss Fiend thing. But now WWE are potentially going to split them up because they do have this addiction to splitting teams up when they're starting to get over. So I don't know. So I'm just posing at them, playing devil's advocate for Billy Balance. Do you think they maybe have been booing the split?
I think they're probably booing everything. I don't think it's mutually exclusive. There were multiple things wrong with the end of this match. And yeah, like the idea, because to me, Bliss cost The Fiend the match.
Mm-hmm.
So that's surely going to sow seeds of dissension. I don't think people want to see them split. I think they're, it's not for me, but like Jeff Hardy isn't for me. I don't say get rid of him. I would. The only problem I have with Fiend and Bliss is the supernatural nonsense. I think that'd be an awesome, just manic Bonnie and Clyde, but with a horror slant act. But that, you know, I've got no interest in teleportation and telekinesis and burning people alive and voodoo making people vomit viscous black liquid on my pro wrestling shows. Thank you very much. So I don't know where they go from here. No, I don't know who Fiend feuds with.
Can I make a prediction?
I don't know. Yeah.
There's a rematch on Raw tonight. The final hour is built around Randy Orton going to the Firefly Funhouse or something. That's my prediction for the Raw after Mania, is that this feud doesn't continue, but it does get a definitive finish tonight.
Potentially.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Should we see what the hyper chats say? Because I'd be curious to get everyone else's thoughts on this. Although we have, you know, got a lot of other people's thoughts already, and it is 90%. I thought it was crap, and the remaining 10% are like, yeah, I didn't like it either, but I didn't think it was the worst thing. So Matthew McFadden, I love the opener until the finish. Entrance is one of my all-time favorites. Fiend coming out of the structure made him look like a megastar. However, that kind of angle is way more suited to closing Raw or a small pay-per-view, not opening WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was the other side of this. This is WrestleMania where feuds are supposed to end. And actually, this feud almost felt like it was like getting started because of the angle. Whereas actually, although it might have been the end. But yeah, I kind of agree with Matthew had to say that. But the entrance was awesome.
McFadden's got two more. In my opinion, if they're doing this angle, then I think a better thing to do is still give Fiend his big win. Him and Bliss are in the center of the ring. Then you have Oily Bliss. Fiend notices it, visibly pissed, lights go out or something like that. The Fiend stuff, just going to say the entrance was pretty damn cool. The turning back into not crispy Fiend was awesome. And then an absolutely lovely tribute to Brody by doing yeah, yeah, yeah. But I won't lie, I'm kind of confused what happened and what next. Yeah.
The Brody Lee tribute was very nice. Like, that was really good. Like, this is Fiend's first, or Bray's first chance to do something in tribute to Brody. He was very, very close with. So that was a lovely moment. And yeah, the entrance rocked.
And also, because I saw someone go, oh yeah, but isn't that breaking character? Totally not. The Fiend's whole gimmick is based around meta reflections on Bray Wyatt's past. Mm-hmm. So it totally makes sense. And it was done within, like, it made sense within the match. He was just, like, screaming something aggressively in an aggressive fight.
There's another person that really does link Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton there, and that is Brody Lee / Luke Harper.
Yeah, good point. Nate S, the Fiend booking is so frustrating, it had me pulling all my hair out. Sorry, awkward face emoji. Very funny, Nate. Homer Star Fan 13, I have to be honest, beside from the red lighting, I was really enjoying Fiend Orton. I thought the Fiend was finally back on track, then that ending happened, and I just don't care anymore. To me, he's damaged goods. Luke?
This company. I'm going to put my cards on the table here, but my next actually good video is The Fiend actually good? We were purposely waiting on doing the poll until after WrestleMania because I wanted to see if WrestleMania was going to swing the vote either way. I'm so curious to see what the results of that poll is going to be.
I think my internet's a bit weird again, so do you want to run through the last two?
Greg Murphy says, wasn't even surprised about The Fiend losing. 7 years of losing big matches. At the root of any pro wrestling story, it should always be about the match. Fiend stories feel like they don't care about actual wrestling, which has made the character lame. And Mr. Burt Wayne said, the physical manifestation of Sister Abigail only distracted The Fiend. They reached towards each other like lovers reunited. Then Orton took advantage of the moment. I saw zero hostile body language from either The Fiend or Abigail towards each other. But she cost him the match. Like, that's if you are like star-crossed lovers, then don't come out in the middle of a match and distract the person you're in love with to allow the other person to win. This did feel like Alexa Bliss cost him the match.
I would also say, if my internet will let me, that it's like it's one RKO. You know, he's the Fiend has come back from like 18 stomps.
Yeah. It was a devastating RKO, though.
Really didn't like it. Only went 5 minutes, at least, mercifully. Everyone else can get their chats in to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Be very interested to hear what people thought of night two overall. And also go over to beer52.com/wrestletalk. Get yourself a free case of 8 craft beers, UK viewers only. Also, the last of our three consecutive nights of live streaming WWE is coming to an end tonight with me and Luke doing the Raw After Mania live reactions. I bet it's going to be a nothing show.
I mean, it's back in the Thunderdome, so there is every chance that this could be a really Bobbins Raw where nothing actually of note happens. We may get an NXT call-up here or there, but this is not going to be like Mania, Raw After Mania of old, I don't think. Like, remember last year...
without the crowd.
I was going to say, last year, like, the big thing last year was the Big Show. The actual main event of WrestleMania was Big Show challenging Drew for the belt. So, let's see. Nothing's been announced yet, I can tell you that much.
So we're going to make our own fun, as always, because, yeah, you made me shave my head by raising £13,500 for charity on night one. I said double or nothing. £20,000? You take my eyebrows as well, and you didn't make it. You've missed the shot. I'm going to give you another shot. If we reach £20,000 to calm tonight, the link is also in the video description below, then I will shave these meaty, lovely, sexy eyebrows on Wednesday's episode of Quizzlemania.
Yeah, so we are getting the hair on Quizzlemania. Will we also get the brows? I think we can get the brows. Come on, guys. I think we can get the brows on Raw tonight. I believe in every single one of you to get us over that 20,000 mark.
There's £17,775 raised so far. Oh. Just a little over £2,000 needed left. I don't think you got it in you.
£17,500 raised by you awesome, awesome people. I still cannot get over
it. I agree. It's so disappointing. Impressed. It's disappointing.
I'm impressed. And I love every single person who's watching this stream. And who's
I'm impressed. I thought they had more in them. Yeah, I know. I know, but these eyebrows aren't going anywhere. Prove me wrong, Swaff Nation! Right, let's do the rest of this pay-per-view. Before Randy and The Fiend, we got a little bit of Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, we sure did. They came out dressed as pirates to do some comedy because they're the hosts of WrestleMania and they just came out to do some comedy. What's she going to do? Scallywags, or you can't call these fans scallywags. I haven't gone back to rewatch it, so I don't really know much of what they said, but also don't particularly care. So, but yeah, they came out dressed as pirates and they looked very lame.
And then after the Fiend Autumn match, they were backstage still dressed as pirates. And Eric Bischoff came up to chat to them along with Bailey. Sure, I don't really know what the point of this is.
Well, I mean, it was it was to set up the Bailey thing later, right? Because we later got Bailey, like Titus and Hogan came out again. Yeah. And Bailey interrupted them so you could put over the fresh upstarts, the Bella Twins. To go out there and beat up Bailey. That was Bailey's big angle for this show, for WrestleMania. Who herself, like she told Alex McCarthy, she was pitching storylines for months to the WWE creative team about her getting a storyline or a match going to WrestleMania, and no one paid any attention to her. This woman who carried the women's division, her and Banks carried that SmackDown women's division throughout last year, and her reward for it was to be beaten up by the Bella Twins in a crap angle. I felt real bad for her.
Luke, come on, man. You know as well as I do it's about quality, not quantity. You can't just chuck everyone on the WrestleMania card for the sake of a payday. You need people who have earned their spot on WrestleMania, the show of shows, the granddaddy of them all. Like 15 minutes, the second longest match of the night that went to Tamina and Natalya versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler in a not very good match, a match that overran quite considerably, according to our friend, and one that is actually heel versus heel, which, as I said in my review, is an incredibly difficult dynamic to do, even when your characters are over. I once watched Adam Cole versus Marty Scurll in Ring of Honor, and it didn't work as well as it should have, because they were both bad guys. So baffled by this match. It was especially after the Hogan Titus comedy and the Autumn Fiend match. I was properly like, dear God, it really was night one for us, night two for WWE.
Yeah, so if you didn't watch our live stream reactions last night, Sean Ross Sapp was on the show with us for a brief moment, and according to his like sources, his intel, this tag match was supposed to go 12 minutes, including entrances. So you take away the entrances, that's about 10 and a half minutes maybe of actual in-ring action. Bell to bell, this went nearly 16 minutes. They not just slightly overran, they massively overran, which to me feels quite unprofessional. And it was so boring. Like, we were just dumbfounded that this match just kept on going. And there was this swell of support for Tamina from the crowd. And it did feel like a very ironic, we're going to cheer Tamina because the internet cheers Tamina for whatever reason. I don't think she's actually over. I think people just think it's funny to cheer for Tamina because she's still there and does the worst splash, which is her finish. And it was awful. Absolutely. And remarkably, probably, I don't know, was it worse than the tag turmoil match on night one?
There were spots I enjoyed in the tag turmoil.
Yeah, I would say it was, because it was two teams going way longer, and like that you didn't even have like the sort of like the turnover of people. Yeah, I thought this was real, real bad.
Yeah, of course, that people going, like doing the match longer on pay-per-view, going against the directions, isn't without precedent. There's a famous story about Triple H and The Rock going really long in their ladder match in like 98 because they thought their story that they'd told over months deserved more time. And you know what? That's better for it. This is not a story that's been told over months. This is one that's barely been built up 24 hours in advance. So I thought this was a massive fail. 14 minutes, 20 seconds of in-ring action.
Yeah. So I still think, I said this on the stream last night, I have no evidence to back this up, but I really do think that Tom and Ross of Cultaholic have done so much to get Tamina over with the internet crowd. Like, I really do. Like, I'm looking at the chat now, and the chat is all like, we'll not stand for this Tamina hate. Tamina is a wrestling god. Tamina is over. Tamina is a megastar.
Sure.
I think there is an ironic swell of support for Tamina, and I think Ross and Tom are to blame.
I think, yes, I don't think that translates to, I don't think social media stuff often translates that vocally to real world arenas. I think the conversion's probably actually very, very small. I think this was people just wanted to cheer live wrestling after not seeing live wrestling for a year. And, you know, if it wasn't like a horrible creative decision like Fiend and Autumn, which they did do, they're going to do their best. And, you know, like, yeah. Tamina, Natalya, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, like, you want to get behind them. And that's what they did. But unfortunately, they didn't even win. This is another thing. The titles didn't even change hands. Natalya took forever to lock in her sharpshooter again. Shayna taps her out in the Kira Fuda clutch. Utter waste of time.
Yeah, so there were a lot of title changes on this show, which we will cover, but this is not one of them. I'm going to just quickly note to you here about Lance Storm tweeted this out today. Just speaking of like the, you know, heel versus heel and the heels being the champions here. Currently, our WWE champion is a heel. Our Universal champion is a heel. Our Intercontinental champion is a heel. US champion a heel. Raw tag champs are heels. SmackDown tag champs are heels. The women tag champs are heels. The Raw women's champ is a heel. SmackDown women's is the only babyface in all of this. In what WWE have always called themselves a babyface company. Pretty much all of their titles now are being held by heels.
But WWE are doing that classic heel shtick where they're the delusional babyface company. I think after that, we got Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Also a feud that has really had no build at all. It was more about a reason to have Logan Paul at ringside. Who can we get to have a really good match? Oh, yeah. Owens and Zayn have been feuding for 10 years. Owens had a high profile feud with a guy called El Generico before that, which sometimes gets lumped in. So a lot of context and history to build off there. They had a cracking match, I thought. Went 10 minutes. probably five, like a third act shy of a great, great match. But I loved all the references to previous encounters they'd had. But Kevin Owens wins with the stunner, and Logan Paul congratulates him, sort of turns on Sammy. So Owens hits a stunner on him. Really like the post angle.
Yeah, I mean, this was basically there. Like, this was just to give Logan Paul a stunner on WrestleMania, right? Like, that was all this was for. And so the fact that they went out there and had a really good match is almost like by the by. Like, they didn't need to go out there and have a really good match, because actually the match didn't matter. It just mattered what we did in the post-match. So I've got a lot of respect for them to go out there and be like, no, let's do it. Just go out there and have a really good TV match. And they did. And they made lots of really nice references. As you say, like, there was the moment when Sammy did the Huluva kick and caught him, a callback to that Battleground match, that awesome Battleground match. And then Kevin Owens at the end of this did the same thing. He caught Sami Zayn after the two super kicks, and then, like, just beautiful symmetry to give him the stunner. I thought this was a complete home run. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I mean, there was no real story, so
no, it wasn't about the story.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, because it wasn't about the story, it's about Logan Paul getting the stunner, and Logan Paul got a stunner, and he sold it really well. Home run of an angle.
Superficial fun. Yes. What was fantastic, and I would say easily my second favorite match of the night, was Sheamus versus Riddle. I thought this was absolutely fantastic. They've had so many great matches on TV before this as well. I think three encounters on TV before this. And they just worked. They worked at such a fast clip here. I think they were on like 1.25 speed of their usual work rate on TV, which is saying something. And they just like got that the striking felt realistic. Unfortunately, there was a botch. Sheamus tried to hit a white noise off the top rope. Like, he was on the second rope and he tried to step up backwards. He just slipped down. Thankfully, no one was injured. Like, he miraculously held on to Riddle during that.
Yes, well, essentially what happened in this is that he was on the second rope, but his feet were on the wrong side. His feet were outside of the ropes. So he picks him up for the white noise and then realizes, oh, I now can't do this move. I'm going to have to step up in order to get up onto the top rope so I can get back into the ring. And unfortunately, Sheamus is not Bianca Belair. And he is not that strong. He wasn't strong enough to do it. And he slipped. But like, credit to them. God, they recovered. Because essentially, he just sort of slipped, landed on his feet, picked himself back up, and hit the move anyway. So although it was a botch, it wasn't like a disastrous botch at all. Like, they recovered really, really well from it.
Well, it was going so fast, you couldn't really dwell. You know, they just hit the move. They didn't try it again, which I think sometimes makes it more awkward. So that helped. And then, like, a few moves later, just 30 seconds, really, Riddle moonsaults off the second rope, and Sheamus clocks him stiff with a bro kick midair. Incredible spot. I've seen a few people say, like technically, although it did bust open Riddle's mouth hard, there was a connection there. These weren't worked brogue boots. I've seen people call it better than the famous Ricochet Adam Cole super kick moment, because Riddle wasn't high enough in, like, as high in the air. But I thought, great finish. Fantastic finish to an excellent match.
Well, I would probably argue, I can't say it's the best finish across WrestleMania, but it's certainly the most spectacular finish across WrestleMania, because it was just, it really sort of felt like out of nowhere type stuff.
Roman pinned two people.
I know, but like in a spectacular spot style fashion, I would say this was like, as a spot, this was the most spectacular. Man, I thought it was epic. Really, really awesome. Really cool. And this was a match that had, its build was Sheamus threw a scooter at Matt Riddle. Then they had a match. Like, that is all the build we got for this. But they've had great matches on TV. They've had about 50 of them in the last couple of weeks. So, like, I think they went out there and absolutely killed it. I really, really enjoyed it. I was surprised that Sheamus won, because as I said on the stream last night, I don't see the point in putting the belt on Sheamus, but they clearly do see some sort of point on it. I thought keep the belt on Riddle and feuding with Keith Lee when he comes back, but we're going with Sheamus, and I guess we're just moving Sheamus back to the mid-card.
I disagree completely. I think this is a great move. I think, Riddle's comedy shtick is not mid-card title level, I think. And also, a Sheamus feud with Keith Lee over the United States title makes a heck of a lot of sense, considering their sort of 2020-2021 period of distrust with Drew McIntyre. So I'm all for it.
Which I do agree with to a degree, but that was like in the main event. That was around the WWE Championship. And now we're just sort of like downing, like we're just sort of pushing them back down the mid-card. And it just feels like Sheamus is always going to hit that glass ceiling in WWE, yeah. I think at this point. I think now we just got to, he thought that he might get something really big at Mania this year and kind of be involved in the title picture, and he wasn't. And now he's just being pushed back down to the mid-card. So I kind of feel bad for him in that way. But I'm excited, but he's on a killer run at the moment. So if he just has like, if his new gimmick is, I'm just going to have the best match on TV every week, like the John Cena United States Open Challenge thing, I'm all for that.
The other mid-card, this was the start of three consecutive title changes, because the other show's mid-card title, the Intercontinental Belt held by Big E, was dropped to Apollo Crews in about 5, 6, 7 minutes. Not a long match, really. It was the Nigerian drum match, which meant absolutely nothing. It was just a hardcore match with some drums around the ringside area that were never used.
Yeah, so the report that was this week was that WWE did not know what a Nigerian drum match was when they announced it at SmackDown. They still had not decided on what it was. Big E has sort of been making fun of this, being like, well, I don't know what it is. And they just clearly decided it's a hardcore match. So just go in there, we put some drums on the outside. That's the gimmick. They're not going to get used. Just have a hardcore match. And that's what they did. And it was perfectly fine. But yeah, it didn't feel like it got into a proper gear. And this feud has been really hurt by the fact that Apollo Crews has like lost. Like, this is his 8th attempt at the Intercontinental Championship since like October or something. And he's, you know, he's lost 7 of those and then finally won on the 8th attempt here, because we got a returning Dabba Kato in all of this. Yabba Dabba Kato from Raw Underground. WWE are legit pretending that it never happens, because they put up a tweet being like, who is this man? And everyone was like, there's Dabba Kato. Do you not watch the product? Like, but yeah, he's going under a new... He's got a new name now. Have you got what it's written down? Because I
Commander Aziz. So he's going to be part of Apollo's new Nigerian gimmick thing there. It's utterly frustrating. It treats the audience as stupid. It's weird doublespeak on 1984 levels, where truth doesn't matter anymore. History is nothing. Because it's like, it's not a Jack in the Box. That the commentators have, like, they are so oblivious in kayfabe to anything that outside of what happens immediately in front of them in the moment. Nothing exists. It's only the present moment that WWE cares about. And, you know, in meditation, that's fantastic. That's the aim. But for people who want something more, some context, some coherency, it's incredibly frustrating. So, yeah, the sort of idea behind saying it's some kind of box-shaped structure when it's clearly a jack-in-the-box is the exact same thinking that goes behind who is this guy when it's the guy who was on TV quite consistently over last summer.
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing with the mallet. It's some kind of mallet. No, it's just a mallet. It's a legit mallet. It's not some kind of mallet.
No one, there was a freaking gong at ringside and no one was thrown into it. What the hell? That's offensive for a wrestling match. I also kind of, if Apollo fails and fails and fails, then he gets his own stipulation match. That's when he gets the win, because he's on home turf. I don't see the need to have outside interference to help him win. I think that makes him a very weak champion, and I'm less interested in his act.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm glad to see Apollo win, because I was worried that he wasn't, and they were just going to, like, effectively Carmella this situation. Like, they brought Carmella back with this big new character, just had her lose to Sasha Banks 5 times, and then we're like, nah, we're done with that character now. So I'm glad that we're at least going somewhere with it. Him having a lackey is probably a really good idea. I think this could be a really fun act. So I'm curious and partially excited to see where it goes. But I don't know. I probably would have done this at Fastlane as opposed to waiting until WrestleMania.
After that, we got the Hall of Fame inductees parade out on stage. And then we got Asuka versus Rhea Ripley with a sort of seemingly audio issue plagued live performance for Rhea Ripley's entrance. Something seemed to be off about the singing. They had a good match. It went like 15 minutes, just under. And, you know, it was good. There was a nice spot where Asuka DDT'd Rhea off the apron. And then you feel like, okay, now we're getting into the bit with the near falls. This is the match before the main event, you know, arguably the semi-main for the Raw Women's title. Let's have that final 3 to 5 minutes of crazy near falls, reversals, all that. Rhea Ripley hit the Riptide and won. So a bit underwhelming for a title change.
But I think it's befitting of the build that it has, which was Plan D levels of builds of, uh-oh, this isn't what we had in mind. It's not even the other two things that we had in mind. So we're just going to have to build this for 2 weeks. The build for this was, can I have a match? Let's sign a contract. We'll have a tag match. Now it's WrestleMania. So it was hard for like them to kind of tell a story in that because there's
everyone else managed it. No one else had any build on this card.
But like, I mean, oh yeah, but some of them had far too much build in it, if anything. But you know, like they didn't really have much of a story to tell. I don't think the crowd were particularly invested in either character. And I don't think it's helped by the fact, like Sean put this out as a tweet, Asuka's last title defense that didn't end in a DQ or a no contest was 2 minutes in October. Like that is Asuka's last actual defense of the title that had a finish. That's mad. That was last year. So of course, like no one's going in there being like no one buys Asuka as the champion. So then no one buys Rhea Ripley beating her for it. So in the end, nothing really mattered. Plan D. It felt like Plan D. I like Rhea Ripley. I love Asuka, but it didn't particularly wow me. I think it needed another 5 minutes. It needed third gear.
Yeah, felt like a bit of a filler match. Nothing bad about it at all. Just, it's WrestleMania. Sort of got higher expectations. I would say everything else, mostly everything else over the two nights, exceeded my expectations, which were pretty low, though. this one just kind of sailed underneath them slightly. But the goddamn main event, my expectations were pretty high. Because Edge, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, when they came out, like, I was like, oh, wait, I thought everything else was WrestleMania. This is WrestleMania. Had such a genuine star power main event feel. And they told one hell of a story over 20 minutes. I loved it. So many spots, so much great character work. Everyone looked better coming out of it. I think Reigns is now, he's gone from being like the guy that carries SmackDown on his, not on his back, because obviously you've got a lot of other people there, but the big top guy on SmackDown to now like, he is the most important person to WWE for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it was incredible. Just, and like you compare the emotion, the character work, and the crowd reaction to this match compared to the Raw Women's Championship match or, you know, Riddle, Sheamus and things like that. All those matches that had no build, no story. The crowd were quite apathetic to it, but they were trying to get themselves into it. When these lads made their entrances, you're like, oh yeah, this is why it's the main event of WrestleMania. And this crowd were just popping it for everyone because there was stuff to be invested in here. There was characters to be invested in. There was emotion, there was drama, there was story. And that helps a match. And that helped this match take it from an incredible match to just like, probably match of the weekend for me quite comfortably. I thought this was an absolute flawless execution of a triple threat wrestling match. What one of the best WrestleMania main events of all time.
Edge-cution. So much to love. I love that Edge won the Royal Rumble now and Daniel Bryan won Elimination Chamber and they main evented WrestleMania as the very, very last match. That's going to pay dividends in the next few years. It's going to make those pay-per-views feel a lot more significant coming off of it. Just to briefly go over the story, although there were so many twists and turns here. Roman dominated early thanks to Jey Uso interference. Edge then got rid of Jay by giving him an execution on the steel steps, so Jay's written out for a bit. Then you just got this great sequence of a Roman power bombing Daniel Bryan off the steel steps through the announcer's table. Then, boom, Edge hits Roman off the steel steps with a spear. They fight a bit. Daniel Bryan hot tags himself, I think, runs absolutely wild. It comes down to Edge and Roman, though. They double spear each other.
Oh, yes. We were saying on the stream, oh, man, wouldn't it be amazing if they both try and do the spear at the same time? Wouldn't that be weird? And then, like, not 30 seconds later, they did that spot. It was so cool.
And then it just got into this, like, Edge then got Roman in a crossface, and he was using part of a broken off chair in Roman's mouth. That was really well set up, that totally organically, the way the chair bit just crumbled. I just thought it was a thing that happened in the match, but it was perfectly placed. And Daniel Bryan gets in the ring too, and he gets the yes lock in on the other side of Roman. So Roman's there, and Edge is now looking at Daniel Bryan like, no, F off, mate. And Bryan's there like, nah, headbutt, headbutt. And have you seen? I just thought Roman passed out. Roman tapped.
I missed it. I didn't notice it until your review. And then I went back and watched it. Absolutely. Because that's the brilliance of it, right? That you didn't see it. Roman knows that he did it. But like knowing that the audience aren't going to see it was what we talked about at the Elimination Chamber match with Bryan. It's just... it's magical moments like that that make you be like, I want to see more of this. I want to see another one of these matches now. And they've had a bunch of matches, but I want to see more of them because of what they're telling throughout to make you like be like, cool, we'll do this because that will then set up this, and we'll do that because then that will set up that. I just loved it. Love it, love it, love it.
What I really, really like about Roman, and I've seen this as a criticism against him, and I get where it's coming from, is just let him win a match clean. You know, yeah. Like you've had all those years, but now he's a heel. He always needs loads of Jey Uso interference, always needs some more shenanigans at the end. Like it almost makes him a weak champion because he does lose in sort of visible pins all the time. To me, I think that's the masterstroke. I know there's a balance. Maybe that will eventually become too much. But right now, it's like he is going out there and it's not a case of babyface Roman, just feed the Roman machine, give him a new opponent, boom, buh, that person's tossed to the side. This is a case of Roman raising the tides for all the other ships because all these people are getting visible pins over him. All of these people have very legitimate reasons to say, give me the next title shot, and they can play it off of this.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But also, like, it's Roman's plan, right? He's the head of the table. He's the one he's the puppet master in all of this. His whole point of getting Jay on his side was for these purposes. So it totally works for him from a character standpoint as well. I've got absolutely zero problem with it whatsoever. Like, I've seen him win a bunch of matches clean. And I've now seen him win a bunch of matches with Jay's interference. Like, I'm totally fine with it because it totally fits this head of the table character. So I think it's great.
But it's not just about Jay. I mean, he's visibly tapped, which is one of the more the more humiliating ways for someone to lose. It's like, I cannot take any more. But after that, because Edge and Bryan sort of got rid of each other there, Roman lived to fight another day. Edge got dual concerto spots. So both Bryan and Roman were laying there and he hit one on Bryan. And, you know, you can do those completely safely, but it really, really affected all of us, I think. Anything around Brian's head will. Goes to do the same to Roman, but Jason again. Roman hits the concerto on Edge. He drapes Edge over Bryan. For a moment, I genuinely was like, what? He's going to let Edge win the belt? But then he laid on top of them both, pinned them both. Doesn't make a lick of sense. Edge is technically the champion. But I didn't mind it either because he tapped out to both guys. And now he, like in his head, he had to pin them both. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Perfections. And like the other great thing that I loved about this, and it was one of the things that people were very curious about this match, because since Roman came back as the head of the table, as the tribal chief, the reaction to Roman is a lot different to what it was when he was the big dog. when he was the big dog, everyone was like, oh man, I'm booing this son of a bitch. Like, because I do not like WWE shoving this down my throat, this, that, and the other. I hate it. The kids like him, but I'm an adult, so I hate it. Boo, boo, boo. But now he's a cool heel, right? So there was this worry that's like, oh, now he's just going to get cheers because everyone's like, oh, it's such a cool character, going to cheers. No, people were booing Roman Reigns. They were booing him as a heel. And that led Roman to then just trash talk the crowd. And it was so wonderful to see Roman, because we've seen him do like a lot of the soft talking throughout his matches and like trash talking with the people he's wrestling. Now we're getting to see him do that same trash talking to the audience. Oh my God, it's so good. I haven't got enough good things I can say about this match. This is the best thing in WWE by a country mile.
He has got a lot of years of pent up things to say to fans. One particular promo where he stayed silent that entire time, the night after Mania, after he beat The Undertaker, comes to mind. I bet all the way in that silence, he was thinking, one day. Absolutely loved it. Overall, I gave the pay-per-view 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
It feels weird to say that after that incredible main event.
Well, I think it's totally fair, because I think it's a bit of an indicative of the pay-per-view, the night two as a whole. Because actually, I think night two felt the most like the build to WrestleMania was a bit bobbins, wasn't it? Like, it was the night where it was, yeah, that wasn't a particularly great build. Yeah, the build for that sucked. Yeah, the build for that really sucked, and it hampered the match. Yeah, the build for that wasn't very good, and it hampered the match. But the main event, like, completely, like, the build for it was awesome, and the match completely over-delivered. So that main event really saved this pay-per-view a lot, because otherwise it felt a bit sort of throwaway and unnecessary. It'd have been all the matches you'd have forgotten about if this was a 7-hour WrestleMania. If this was like WrestleMania 35, it's all the matches that people be like, did that really happen on a WrestleMania show? You know, like Elias versus Baron Corbin. It's like, was that really on WrestleMania? So yeah, I think it's a 3 out of 5 show. We took this to our community poll to see what they thought of the show. And they actually were in agreement. 41% said it was thumbs in the middle, but 38% thought it was a 4 out of 5 great per view. So it is kind of in that, it's the 4 or 5, 3 out of 5 category there. But yeah, people were like, you know, just a bit average to above average on the show.
Yeah, well, let's see what you guys all thought in the Hyper Chats. Of course, get them into WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. And also, beer52.com/WrestleTalk is your friend. You get a free case of 8 craft beers. If you live in the UK, go check out the offer over there. They're a fantastic service. Projection 2K. I've ranted last night on Twitter. Bray Wyatt lost 4 times at WrestleMania. He's never won a match at WrestleMania. Why? I guess we're not counting last year's Firefly Funhouse. The Fiend was a draw. Was. The Fiend should have won and did the Bliss angle right after. I'm intrigued by the Abigail Fiend story. That's a fascinating thing. I hated it. I can't wait to see what happens next.
That right. And that's kind of what I think a lot of us are like with The Fiend. Where I was like, oh my God, I hate this so much. I do want to see what they do next, though, because what are you going to do to kind of get out of this hole that you've dug? So, yeah, I totally buy into that. Also, Asuka's never won a WrestleMania as well, either, fun fact.
Fahid Butter. Hey, guys, I'm going to try to find a positive out of all this because I hated this. The Fiend's whole thing is that he kicks out of finishers and you can't keep it down. Apparently one jackhammer or one RKO can do it. But now we might get Mr. Rogers. Vivid Chim. The bar for The Fiend versus Randy Orton was so low, they needed an archaeological expedition to find it. And WWE still found a way to trip over the bar and land in the crappiest outcome. Luke?
This company.
Chaos Control. When Bray did the tribute to Luke Harper, I thought he had the match in the bag, so it hurt me even more when he didn't. That's a good point. Mm. Planet Dan ASMR. Hi, Luke and Ollie. Hi, Luke and Count Olaf. Funhouse match at Backlash. It would have been better if Fiend had just squashed Orton. Also, do you think the black goo would be less laughable if it was blood?
Yes. It would be the short answer to that, because then people wouldn't be saying black goo all the time. They'd be saying blood.
Brendan Harris, I think this Randy Fiend feud needs to end in a Bliss on a Pole-like Bliss on a box-like structure on a pole match. There we go. Winner gets Reginald. Can't believe they Bray Wyatted the Fiend. Oh, wait. Yes, I can. New Punk rant. I hate WWE so much, I can't even stand it. I've been a fan of Bray since Husky Harris. I'm watching 8 years of WWE, actively hate him. Last night made me happy. I hadn't watched since Hell in a Cell 2019. I follow it, but F WWE. I watch Revolution instead. And Magic Mac Music. Don't know why everyone is crying about The Fiend. It makes total sense to me. Why would Randy just stand there and watch The Fiend look at Alexa? Of course he would hit an RKO. Thought Bliss looked amazing. Made sense to me.
The sense of this isn't in Randy Orton's actions. The sense of it's in The Fiend's actions of Alexa Bliss distracting him. Randy Orton was the smartest man in the ring. That bit's totally fine. I don't think anyone's got a problem with Randy Orton in all of this. In response to the, like, do you think we can get a Firefly Funhouse match at Backlash? It's always possible. It's back in the Thunderdome. So, yeah, you could just do it then instead, I guess. Michael Rivera says, hello, lads. That triple threat was amazing. I agree with what Meltzer said in his review of the match. The Roman felt like his first credible main event heel on both nights. And I agree with Ollie with what he said about Roman is the Okada of WWE recently. Anthony Velasquez says, two things I'm confused about. Did Alexa turn on The Fiend? Also, I'm done with Jay interference as being the reason Roman retained. Let him get some clean wins.
We've said our piece on that. I think it's fine.
Charles Berg, I'm happy Roman retained. His story is in the second act. There's so much more to be done before he loses. I think he should hold it until next year's Mania. Ollie has a very good head shape. You look fine, bald. Don't trust Pete. He hates pancakes. MActive247 said night one. I know, right? MActive247 says night one was so much better than two. The only two matches that felt WrestleMania worthy on it was Sheamus versus Riddle and the triple threat main event. Matthew Makovsky says, what everyone should be talking about is the goddamn amazing main event. Can't speak highly enough about it. And if I tried, I'd be cursing. The raw emotion, every second something actually happened. Basically, a Roman with both of them, that's some tribal goddess word. Ben Greenwood said WrestleMania seemed to be the most divisive show in a while. See people hating and liking lots of different things. I enjoyed the main event a lot. NXT Stand and Deliver was the exact same as WrestleMania. Night one overall better. Night two had the amazing main event. That's a very good comparison, actually. Big Eye Cotiers. Night two was filled with trash endings. Fiend losing, Tamina losing, Asuka got a bad ending to her title reign. Jay once again ruins another match. Night two was a sad way to end WrestleMania. I mean, Mr. Davis, we can call you a prognosticator because you did say at the start of like our stream yesterday, night one was for the fans. Night one was like giving the fans exactly what they wanted. Night two was for WWE. Like you said this before the show started. You're like, we're going to get a lot of trash finishes tonight, a lot of bad finishes and a lot of bad outcomes. And you were 100% on the money.
I played Knifey Spoonie before.
The Portuguese Mr. David said, hey guys, and Portuguese me, thought night two was a bit meh. Still 3 out of 5. Enjoyed the Bliss thing until the Fiend lost. Despite that, the tag match, the show was very good. P.S. You have no idea how much you've helped me through these difficult times. Love you. Thank you so much for all your constant support you've given us. Matthew Robinson said, wow, saw WrestleMania late, but loved all of your guys' reactions over the last 5 days. I have to say, this might be the best WrestleMania in 5 years. What do you guys think? It's hard because if you've got to look at it as a whole, yeah. I don't know. I think a lot of night two drags down my enjoyment of night one.
There's an amazing, amazing 3.5 hour pay-per-view in this. I'm not sold on two night WrestleManias. I'm sold on one great one night Mania.
If WrestleMania was just that one night last night, you'd be like, oh man, one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. But the two night thing, I think does, there's a lot of sting. There's a lot of in there that makes it go wrong. Devante Lee, Randy took me out of the match a bit when he decided to smile down the ramp for his possible feud ending match.
Totally agree.
Matthew Robinson, this week was great. We got to see so many title changes and WWE seem to be keeping with what is hot and not doing their usual booking that they want. Remember Sheamus, Apollo, Bobby, Cesaro and Ripley all got over and none of those were guaranteed. I think some of those were guaranteed. Raging Rhino, night two was a low 4 out of 5 compared to the night one high 4 out of 5. Women's tag matches were equally meaningless. Fiend Orton was actively bad. And every other match was good to great to perfect. Outside of those three matches, every finish felt right. That triple threat top 10 Mania. Bezo Banks, people say it's how you start. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. But night one strong show throughout. With that Banks Bear main event compared to night two show really proves otherwise. Keep up the great work, lads. You always know how to brighten up the day. Joe Strikes says, WrestleMania should have just been one night. Plus Roman winning at the end and the women's gauntlet being for the women's tag belt. Do not care for Sammy versus Owens and Big E versus Apollo round 1000. Sheamus was great, but don't care about bro. R.I.P. Asuka. The Decker Dane said, night two was terrible until Owens and Zayn started. The rest of the show really picked up. Thankfully, the Universal Championship triple threat was bloody terrific. Night one was the better all-round show, but a good Mania overall considering the poor build. Yeah, actually, I mean, I posted up a bit. Someone showed a video of their son going to do going to bowl. It's like a young kid, right? And he slips and the ball completely slips out of his hand, but he's got the bumpers up. So like the bumper, like the ball hits the bumper, goes down, and there's a strike. And the kid just gets up and be like, yep, meant to do that. And I was like, that was WWE's booking of WrestleMania and the show overall. Sam Moore, the main event was banging and well up for an Edge and Bryan singles match. And maybe after this feud with Bobby, have Drew go to SmackDown leading to him dethroning Roman. Any update on your match of the week? For me, it's that triple threat. Absolutely adored it.
Yeah, I'd go triple threat as well.
Joe Strikes, they could have used Bayley's skit to introduce a big return or shocking female debut, instead using it to introduce the Bellas, who are now irrelevant and aren't coming back. I did love the John Cena not here joke. Cena no-show automatically gives them one star. The other thing that Sean pointed out was this is the first WrestleMania without John Cena since 2002.
Wow.
Yeah, no, nearly 20 years.
Wow.
Bacon Rasher, hi lads. Fiend Orton will have at least one more match as WWE don't know what to do with him next. Also, I can't believe all the WWE champions are heels, even in NXT, apart from Bianca. Good luck with Raw tonight. Can't bring myself to watch it live from 1. Oh my God, I forgot. It's the 1 until 4 a.m. I forget it's a 3-hour show when you've got to watch it live.
At least there's no pre-show.
Sam Moore said, I think Zayn and Owens would have been a better opener. It was my match of the night until the main event. At least the Logan Paul stuff. It was a payoff for the live fan service. Don't think this feud is done, though. Or Cesaro Rollins.
Owens and Zayn are never done.
They're never done. Simon Sat Canales said, the last real live performance at Mania was by Living Colour. Since then, everyone sang on top of an instrumental bass while a fake band mimed in the background. Rhea's theme is one verse and chorus, which the girl sang four times. WWE, please invest in music again. Now, let's not pretend that Jim Johnston songs weren't just one verse and a chorus, because that second verse was Jim Johnston Syndrome. It's like, well, it's not quite as good as the first verse, is it? You kind of like... just farted that one out a little bit. Just didn't realize, like, the sun's really shining in on my screen now.
Yeah,
isn't
you've
it?
Got a beautiful Instagram filter on you right now.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about that. Let's see if I can move this. Nope, it's actually just making things actively worse. Nicholas Lama said, when Reigns pulled Edge off the top of Bryan, I was half expecting Lesnar's music to hit and distract Reigns while the ref counted Bryan's shoulders on the mat for Edge. Kevin said, finally, Roman finally able to work with the crowd reaction was amazing. Edge's entrance pyro and KO's energy gave me goosebumps. Night one was better, but night two had a few good moments as well. Dylan Haggett, hey guys, good job, amazing job raising so much money. Couple of things, as a South Australian, I'm proud of Rhea. With this year's Mania, there's been more WWE Manias than WWF Manias. And this is the first time since 28 to not have Lesnar on the card. That's an interesting one.
Huh, maybe this is a more historically significant one than we gave it credit for. We were all looking at the pandemic stuff.
Ben Greenwood, I was watching WrestleMania with a friend who doesn't watch wrestling anymore, but he wanted to see Edge, and even he thought, damn, I wanted to see Edge win, but this Roman guy's a badass, and admitted his spear is better. What a main event. Honestly, I was buzzing. In all fairness, Ben Greenwood, I don't think many people are saying, like, do you know who's got the best spear in wrestling? Oh, Edge. Yeah, he's definitely got the best spear in wrestling.
Ben Greenwood. Scripted promos from night one made me sad because that's how they should be doing it, or was my internet conked out?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, do you want me to carry on?
You carry on. I'll let you know when it's back. I've got a little thing that tells me how bad it is.
Ben Greenwood said, the unscripted promos from night one made me sad because that's how they should be doing it. Also got me thinking, if WWE was to persist on three-man teams, then Graves, Samoa Joe, and Wade Barrett gets called up from NXT commentary with no script would be fun. I think there's a lot of WWE commentary teams where they weren't so badly produced would be a lot of fun.
I think my internet's better now. Sam Mort, agree about Raw Underground and Babatunde Dabadoo. I mean, surely you could have had him and Rouse as Shane's lackeys and claim Underground was Shane scouting for some backup, but nope, we're just going to pretend it never happened. Homer Starfan 13.
Like, they were part of the draft. Babatunde and Ataru Ruas were part of the draft and just never came to Raw.
Homer Star Fan 13, what exactly is going on with Bayley right now? It seems like her gimmick is just that person no one likes. Really sad to see her in this position, as she was one of my favorites back in NXT, and she was on top of the world last year. I feel like she's getting the Sami Zayn treatment. Has she actually annoyed someone backstage?
Yes, she got Matthew over. Damn her.
Matthew Mikowski, everyone is saying Becky didn't come back, so she will come back tonight. I feel like there shouldn't be anything massive, especially when you had a combined 51,000 person crowd over two nights and could have done a Becky return in front of a real crowd. Bezo Banks, remember at Survivor Series when Banks and Asuka had that incredible match and Asuka finally won the title back from Banks and Bayley's grasp? And we all said this is what Asuka needed to elevate her whole new run at the top of Raw. That was 8 months ago and she's done nothing.
Oh, 8 months. 8 months, man. That's insane levels of incompetence.
That's why it's hard to get excited about anything in WWE. Because although, like, you know, Cesaro, surely they're going to give a push to him now. Nope. Been there, done that with him three times already. I'm not getting my hopes up again. Hannah Allen, this is from last night. We missed it off, I'm afraid. Remember that time on the podcast show where Mr. Davis awkwardly worded a comment that seemingly implied man was an upgrade from women? Yes, of course I didn't mean that. The Portuguese Mr. Davis, also from last night's stream. Mr. Davis, why not shave your entire hair? By the way, quite excited for tonight. Because all the hair is going on Wednesday's Quizzlemania. MacTiv 247. Also, I've been watching you guys for years, but never thought to Ultra Chat. I am now engaged with you guys. Mr. Davis, your eyebrows are coming off, even if it means I have to make the final sum payment. Eyes emoji. Super heel. Ha 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 ha. You're not going to do it. None of you are going to do it. £2,207. That's how much is needed right now. You've got until 4 a.m. tonight. You've got 12 hours from
right
now.
It's nearly 18 grand currently. Nearly £18,000 raised. Love to see it.
We're fantastic. Andrew, The Last Airbender, part one. After your reaction stream, I realized I should explain the Tatanka comment from last night. He was having a drink with Tatanka in a bar, he said. My friend had Tatanka doing a signing at his toy shop, and we all went out afterwards. He's such a sweet guy. Watching him watch Mania was absolutely incredible. After a match, he'd tell a story and give insight as to why it worked or why it didn't. He's a fan, still keeping up with the product. He thinks Roman is a star, Bianca is his favorite, and was upset that Rhea won. He thinks it'll be a short reign.
Yeah, and there's another comment there from Andrew to finish this off.
Memorable parts of the night was him screaming, "Oh no, Cell!" during the Fiend match and completely checking out of the Tamina match to order wings and shots. After the show, my friend left and came back saying, "Dude, I just got high with the..." I mean, I'm not going to read that out. It's legal in most places. But that's a very cool story, Andrew. Greg Murphy, also 2 year anniversary of listening to you guys. Happy anniversary. Me, you, and Greg. Since I've been watching with you guys, best match I saw was Rumble 2020 with Drew winning, and the worst by far was Fiend losing to Rollins at Hell in a Cell, which is a year and a half ago. Can you believe?
Wow. Year and a half ago. 18 months, man. That's nuts.
Matthew Robinson, Ollie, Mr. Davis, we are coming for your eyebrows and we will get there. Also, it was definitely Chopper, Ollie. Don't be tickled. Luke is not a great detective. It was Chopper.
I'm a bloody great detective, I'll have you know, Matthew Robinson. I've been getting lessons from Sullivan Brown, who is a world-beating detective.
Daz a Million, Raw after Mania. More importantly, Wrestle Talk after Mania. Will we find out who blew... Cough up, Mr. D. Thank you for all your hard work during the pandemic. Great content. First holiday destination when permitted.
I'd like to go. I mean, you rave about Santorini a lot.
No, I don't.
Have I confused you with someone else then? What's the place in Greece
I did go there recently. That was the last place I went abroad. It was good.
Is there a place in Greece that you absolutely love?
Napoli in Italy, yeah. I really like. I went to Santorini and I had a very nice time.
I must have been someone else.
The board game Santorini?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
That's it.
Yeah, someone with some sun, I think, is where I'd like to go. Mm. I'd actually really like to go back to Dubrovnik because it's bloody lovely there.
And no, I don't think we will find out who blew me up tonight. There's enough going on with hair on the line and stuff. But I will get to the bottom of it.
Oh, I mean, I will find the son of a botch that blew Mr. Davis up.
Mr. Bert Wayne, I'm afraid we can't read out your Ultra Chat because that is self-promotion. We've talked to you about this. HCB, am I the only one who finds it odd 6-7 matches on WrestleMania card were won by heels? I know some can win, but now we enter a new season of WWE where anyone not a main women's champion is a heel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just a way to get those babyface wins when the crowd comes back, I suppose. Like, once you are back, it's like a full touring schedule. You're going to be able to have like a series of shows where the babyfaces win back their belts.
Zachary Jenkins, guys, WWE just wants me to stay angry with Jackson Baszler still being champions. Also, Paul Heyman has by far the best facial storytelling in wrestling. Mm. Yeah, that's good. Kevin, overall, WrestleMania was very enjoyable. After a year without fans, the crowd did their part in making this event memorable. Thank you guys for the live streams. It was a lot of fun. Hashtag hat contest.
Hat chat.
And finally for now, Dylan Haggart on NXT, Barrett called Walter Wally. Good to know. Well, that's all we've got time for this WrestleMania 37 Night 2 review podcast. We will be back, me and Luke, tonight to watch the Raw after Mania on this channel. So subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast and enable notifications to always on. And go over to beer52.com/WrestleTalk, UK viewers only. You get a free case of 8 delicious craft beers. Go over to WrestleTalk, watch my review that went up earlier, although I just told you everything I thought. I've been Mr. Davis. These eyebrows aren't going anywhere. That was Lukewarm Luke Owen. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.